flavor ice cream do you have?
Bubblegum. Yeah.
Bubble ice cream.
Yum.
Hello, internet, and welcome to Required Viewing, the show that literally only the hosts listen to.
Yeah.
I'm Carolyn. Wait,
have we established that's an actual
No,
fact?
Okay, so
I don't
according
know that's
to
true.
Statistics
mm-hmm.
that I, with the program
made
I've
up
been
yourself?
Using, no, with the program I've been using, because of the week that we took off, we actually went down a lot of spots. I actually noticed.
Shut up.
Wow.
No, I did. I noticed that we took quite a few spots down.
Where,
like,
okay, where were we before? Were we like 1,800,000?
No. We were like at number 20,000 something. And
okay.
then after that,
like
we went 50? Down to 27,000.
Oh, shit. Okay, so regularity is key, people.
But we were keeping it regular. We were keeping it consistent at around 20,000.
We need some fiber for this team.
We didn't introduce ourselves, and this is why we don't have a lot of viewers.
I introduced myself.
My name is Guy.
Guy.
Go ahead.
I'm Guy.
Sorry, stop.
Hello, and what is
Amanda.
Your name, young lady?
Stop interrupting me! Holy shit!
What is it?
I tried to say it like 3 times.
So it's Amanda, Carolyn, and Guy. Great.
I think
you
are Tootie.
Fuck you.
Okay.
So the movie we're seeing is...
Oh, and Mason, but he's being antisocial, as usual.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not part of this.
You are now a part of this.
Yeah.
You just said something.
Yeah.
But I'm just watching. I'm like...
Okay.
I'm
Mason's
like
not
viewer.
Actually a part of this podcast.
I'm the only
he's
live
just
viewer.
In every episode.
No, I like what you guys said for the last one. He's a...
He's our recurring co-host, I guess.
Yeah.
He's like the Kramer. Of our group. He just pops up
does
everywhere.
It? Does my head look like Kramer's?
Yep.
Yeah.
Except not frizzy.
Anyways, the movie we're gonna see is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Thanks for keeping us on track.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I feel
was
like
going to,
this
but...
is what happens when I'm
I
not
know.
Drinking.
Yeah.
Are we watching Mila Goes to College, the musical?
I don't even know what that is.
No one's heard of that. And
Die,
we're
please.
We're watching One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson and some
a Milos
other people.
Foreman
Louise
film.
Fletcher, Brad Dourif. So
is,
Louise
wait,
Fletcher.
Wait. Is Louise Fletcher... Nurse Ratchet?
Yes. She is Nurse Ratchet.
She's so ratchet.
Why?
What?
Why is she Ratchet?
She's Nurse
Ratchet. No,
that's
Ratchet. Her name.
What?
Ratchet. Nurse Ratchet.
Are you being serious?
That's
yeah,
her name.
That's her character's name.
That's her
She's
character's
nurse
name.
Nurse Ratchet.
Wow.
Of course it is.
I think it's actually
of
Ratchet.
It is, so we can
it's
make
Ratchet,
fun of...
but for the sake of this podcast, we're going to call her Ratchet.
Yeah.
Because she's pretty fucking ratchet, you guys.
She
she's
is.
So
she
ratchet.
Is pretty, that's probably where that slang came from.
Someone watched One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and then someone was being a bitch to them, and they were like, oh, that bitch is so ratchet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my god, you figured
Etymology
it out.
Crack the code.
There
Holy
you go.
Shit.
Brad Dourif's also in it. There was some Indian guy that I don't really recall his name, and some other people. There are mostly mental patients. The movie takes place in a mental patient facility,
otherwise known as a mental hospital.
Yeah.
A mental hospital and
insane asylum.
Yes,
that's not politically correct.
Yeah, okay, get with the times.
Whatever.
Okay, actually,
whatever.
Back then they probably
it's,
didn't call
I was
it.
Gonna
say,
yeah. This isn't.
What was this?
Bedlam.
Is this made in the 60s?
Yeah, I think so. Either that or it's
70s.
Made in the... It might be... Is it set in the 60s, though? I feel like...
It's probably kind of, set in the 60s, because I know the
I feel
book
like it's
was
set
released.
Earlier, because the book was...
The book was released, I believe, in the 50s, actually.
It used to take
I
a while for books to get
it,
adapted.
The guy who
yeah.
wrote it, his name is Ken Kesey, and yeah, he released the book, and then they made a movie. So it's about a mental facility, mental hospital.
Oh,
1975.
Ooh. Oh, okay, later than I thought.
Yeah.
And it's about, so Jack Nicholson's character, he's kind of like, he kind of goes against the grain, like he's,
Well, he's also not technically
He's not
insane,
technically.
Right? Like, he got transferred out of prison. I've seen the first half of this movie.
Yeah.
The end.
So, yeah, he's not traditionally insane, but they think he's insane because he's not normal,
well,
I guess.
But he acts like he's insane.
Yeah.
So,
but he's,
he
like, trolling them.
Yeah.
He's
so
trolling
he was just
them.
Like, oh, I'm totally insane, you guys. Look how Jack Nicholson-y I am.
Yeah,
and then they transferred him to a mental hospital.
Oh,
that's
my
exactly,
gosh.
Yeah.
I know Louise Fletcher.
What?
She's
in
Shameless.
Shameless. Yeah, she played William H. Macy's mom.
The
in,
grandma.
Yeah,
the awful, awful, disgusting grandma.
Yeah.
She's
so
ratchet.
So
she only
yeah.
plays one type of character, really. The horrible
oh,
person.
So she plays like the same person.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
yeah.
Because
she's
nice.
Got that face. Like you look
I
at
feel
her,
like that would
yeah.
be really fun as an actress or actor to get like pigeonholed into you're an awful person. Because like, literally, I think it would get out all your aggression. Just on screen, you get to abuse people.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Alan Rickman is probably like one of the most calm people.
Oh yeah, he probably has so much fun. Like, you watch Harry Potter, that is a guy who's having a lot of fun.
He definitely is.
Yeah, he's enjoying himself.
Just letting you know, Angelica Houston is in this. She's uncredited as Woman in Crowd on Pier.
Ooh, was that her
wow,
screen debut?
Wow, big role.
Yeah, I don't
nice.
Know. I'm sure it wasn't, but...
And this
then
is also...
Christopher Lloyd is in it, too.
Wait, what?
Whoa.
Where?
He's probably one of the mental patients.
Tabber?
I could believe that.
Yeah, he's
and
probably...
And who's the other one? Danny DeVito.
Oh, yeah, he is in it.
Is
I
he
forgot
another
about
mental
that
patient?
I don't know. Martini?
He is.
Okay.
He looks like a mental patient.
Meaty thighs.
Okay,
then,
so
this movie also, another interesting tidbit, because back in podcast number 7, where we were talking about Silence of the Lambs and how we were talking about movies that have won the 5 main Oscars.
Yeah, this
is also one of those movies
that
won the
Oh, so
main
I was
Oscars
trying to figure out who would have won
it's
Best Actress.
It's Louise Fletcher that won
okay,
the Best
that's
Actress.
Cool.
Yeah, so Jack Nicholson, Louise Fletcher.
Oh, so that's... That's interesting because normally people don't win best actor slash actress for like villains, but then the two that
I don't
we
know,
often
no.
Have...
But look at Training Day.
No,
is
but
it really
also
villain,
it's interesting
though?
Too because
he's a hero in
because
that.
Lou
oh,
she was a, she was a villain too, and in a main role, and she also had the same problem that Anthony Hopkins had, which
oh,
was screen cast. Time.
Oh,
screen
yeah
time. Yeah, no, it's because she's not really in the movie as
yeah
much as you think for a main actress, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, she was also nominated and won for that role. That just shows you how good she is in that movie.
Yeah.
She was forever typecast after this because she was so phenomenal. Yeah,
so
there's not really much else I could say about this
movie. I think we should establish, though, who hasn't seen this movie. You've obviously seen it and you've read the book.
No.
I thought you read the
he
book.
He owns the book
and
owns
also
the
stopped
movie
trolling.
I never
it's
did
been nominated
eight,
for 8 things for the Oscars. 8, but only won, I think.
Only won 5.
Yeah.
Oh my
bad
god, no.
It only won the important one.
I'm
it only
not
won Best Picture.
It didn't win any of the technical ones.
God.
Seriously.
It became the first film in 41 years to sweep the major categories of Best Picture, Director, Actor, Actress, and Screenplay.
I feel like we should go through and watch all the movies that have swept them.
That's not
but
true.
We're probably going to be watching some.
The first in 41 years.
Oh, in 41 years. I thought
yeah
you said the first. Okay.
No.
Because the first one was the one with Clark Gable, I think.
You mean Gone with the Wind?
No.
You know way
it,
too much.
It happened one night. That's
okay
the one.
Oh,
that's
okay
the one that
I think Gone with the Wind definitely swept them, though.
Except
yeah
for Best Actor. That
really
was the only one it lost.
Ooh,
Clark Gable was the one. Yeah, he lost them.
But who did he lose to? Or what movie?
Fucking who knows? I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised it didn't lose one of those to Wizard of Oz, which was the same year, but it wouldn't have been Best Actor for
no
Wizard
it wasn't nominated for any acting awards for Wizard of Oz.
It yeah
was
but it was
stuff
it was nominated for Best Picture.
No, yeah, it was Gone with the Wind pretty much won everything that it was
yeah
nominated for.
Not that I actually want to watch Gone with the Wind, it's so fucking
oh
boring
my god. I know it's gonna be
I liked
so
it
long.
I actually liked
what's
it for a 4-hour film. I really
oh
enjoyed that movie
for a 4-hour film. It really moves along. I don't know. So yeah, I have only seen about half of this movie. I do know how it ends.
Because
I think everyone does.
I don't.
Really?
Don't
I'm
it,
pretty
don't
sure there's a Simpsons episode that does the exact scene, though. I know.
Yeah, I'm pretty
maybe
sure they
I might
it before.
I might, but I
it's
might not know
one
until...
Yeah. Probably not. But you haven't seen any of it, right?
No, I haven't seen any
okay
of it. I only know, like, the bare bones of it. Like, I know what it's about, and, like, that's it.
Okay.
It's on my list. It's been on my list forever of movies
yeah
to watch, and it's just
always
yeah,
it's
been
just like, yeah, it's good too. It's one of those films too that didn't really, because there weren't a lot of films before that tackled the issue about mental illness, because it was kind of
yeah,
like
was
still a taboo
well
subject.
Well, it's still pretty
it's
stigmatized
still pretty,
today,
yeah,
but it's...
So, anyways, we veered off totally.
Yeah, and I'm
going to
be
I'm
cutting
sorry
out this
yeah
entire thing. That's okay.
Yes, I...
It's not going to interest
I
mean, it's interesting.
I don't think there's really much else
general
to say about this... this movie. I think we already covered it all, really.
I know. I'm wondering what we're going to
talk
about
for itself
once it's over.
There's,
I
a lot
know,
of, there's
I
actually a lot of interesting
that
scenes in the movie that
yeah
we can't talk about.
And we can't Grinch factor it either.
Why,
yeah,
is Mason going to bed?
Oh, probably.
Already?
Oh,
he had a really hard
word
day, yeah.
Yeah, so
okay.
I think we're prepared at this point
to
watch,
this
movie.
All right, I'm ready.
One flow of the cuckoo's
nest. I'm ready.
Okay, I'm excited. All right, see ya, Internet.
We're back.
Hi.
We're back, and we're here to talk about the remaining part of this podcast. And we watched this movie, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yay! What did you guys think of it? I know this is your first time watching it, Carolyn.
It's my first time watching, like, the second half of it.
Okay, we'll just round it up and say you haven't watched it at all.
Okay.
What did you think of it?
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Good it definitely,
out of 10?
Yes. I haven't thought of what my rating is yet, but
okay.
Yeah.
Something
it definitely
about water
shows,
I think.
Maybe. It definitely shows how messed up people's attitudes towards mental illness are and have been. Yeah. It definitely wasn't good in the 70s. They were all like, oh, we just need to lock them up and be assholes to them until they, fucking straighten up and fly right or something.
Exactly. Good job, Carolyn. Good job. What did you think about the movie, Amanda?
I don't know. It was sad.
It was a really depressing movie.
And also, I'm glad they didn't, when they were going to the electroshock scene, I thought, that was the end and they were going to be showing, the fucking lobotomy.
So they just go straight to the lobotomy,
maybe
right away.
I mean, Nurse Ratched is a super bitch. Maybe she's just fucking lobotomize them.
Yeah, fuck
like,
it.
Going from 0 to 60.
Every time someone starts a fight, it's lobotomize them. But
from 0 to lobotomy.
I guess what they did in the '60s, but I don't know. I always found that super upsetting. I don't know. That's just in Hannibal when they had that episode where the bee lady was lobotomizing people, I just fucking couldn't handle it.
Who?
There was the episode with the lady who kept putting beehives in people's heads, but
the bees.
Lobotomizing people.
Oh, right.
Not
the bees. Not the bees. My eyes.
It's just I don't know, I find that a really upsetting thing to do to another person, because you're just
do you cry about it, Carolyn?
It's fucked up.
I cry at night.
Do you cry? Are you gonna go home and cry about this? You're gonna go
maybe
lay down. And you're like, McMurphy.
No, I read a history of surgery one time, and the brain surgery section started with lobotomies, and that was basically the only brain
surgery.
Why
are you reading stuff about brain surgery?
I was just reading a history
are
of
you
surgeries.
A brain surgeon?
It's interesting. But, for decades, that was the only brain surgery that was done, and it's, really fucked up, because they didn't know anything about the brain at the time. They just kind of were like, oh, if we slice here, people are quieter and easier to manage. And, that is the most fucked up thing. I can't deal with it.
Honestly.
It upsets me a lot.
During that period, if I wanted to make sure that people, shut the hell up and stuff, I probably would have done
kill them?
No, I would have done the same thing. I would have lobotomized them.
They didn't even know anything about how the brain worked. They were like, we've just found if we slice here, people seem calmer. And we're okay with that.
I would be okay with that.
It was just really messed up.
Well, it's a different time, you know? When in Rome, you know?
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Would you also be cool with, trepanning in, 10,000 BC or what?
What's trepanning?
Yeah.
When people with mental illness in 10,000 or whatever BC, they just thought they were possessed by demons. They just cut drilled holes in their skulls.
Did that work?
No, people died. You get a brain infection and die.
Why did they keep doing it if people died?
Because they thought it worked. It was better than having demon possessed people around, I guess.
Well,
they're dead, so it worked.
Much.
They're no longer possessed.
Yeah, it's true.
Man, humans have just been really fucked
the same
up
as
to
if
each
you're
other
a witch,
forever.
Right? If you're dead,
they
if
drown
die,
you.
You're well, she wasn't a witch.
So either they win, we win.
Better than having
100%
a witch
success.
Around, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Salem, a witch-free town.
I kind of wish that I read the book first.
The book is
obviously it explains
well,
more.
I've heard
it does.
It's super different though. From
it
the
is
movie.
A little bit different. There's some stark differences. Number one, the way they describe the movie to the hospital, it's like a machine. So you see, get that feeling of standardization more and how they want everyone to be normalized and, the whole, Carolyn spiel about lobotomies or whatever.
They go into that a little bit, but I'm
not as much
as
in the
much
movie,
as...
no. And they also
well,
establish...
isn't it also from Chief's perspective?
Yes, that's another thing, too.
Oh,
in the
that
book,
would be cool.
It's all from the Chief's perspective, not McMurphy's. McMurphy's actually, a supporting character in the book.
Wow.
And that was one of the trivia bits. That was the number one trivia bit. Ken Kesey, the author of the book, was so pissed off about the movie because they completely changed
yeah.
the main character.
Are just pissed off by adaptations
everything.
Involving
yeah, exactly. Just if you're an author and you have a book, a movie being released about your book, don't watch it. That's
or basically
write the screenplay yourself.
Yeah, that's
or
exactly.
Don't
just pull it.
Jack Nicholson, because he seems to be the biggest problem here.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, The Shining. Fuck that adaptation.
Yeah.
It's cause Jack Nicholson.
So Ken Kesey actually was so pissed off about this. He decried it. He said, I'll never watch this stupid movie. I'll never watch it. And then actually, in the trivia bit too, apparently he was just laying in bed one night and
It was on TV.
He had no idea it was his movie. And he started watching it. And he's like, oh, this movie's pretty good. And then he realized like halfway through, like, oh shit, this is the movie they made about
oh
my book.
God.
And he turned it off. I'm never watching this movie.
Oh my God.
He's like, almost tricked me, Holly.
Yeah.
Fool me once.
You almost got me.
That's
yes.
pretty amazing.
And another trivia bit too that I found interesting was the actress Louise Fletcher. I guess she was so depressed by the end of the movie because everyone, she thought that everyone hated her, you know, like, because
she
was so,
she's got such a bitch character.
Well,
yeah, such a bitch,
yeah.
And she was often in character even when the cameras weren't,
oh,
yeah,
well, then
so,
it's her own fault for people.
Yeah, all the
yeah,
actors
yeah.
were like, well, I guess all the mental patients slash actors were
yeah.
like that, and, yeah, so, like, at the end of the movie, she, like, stripped all her clothes at the end. And like she was just
to
like lighten
like,
up, basically like look at me, you assholes, you know, like just
that's
going full Monty.
Interesting.
Oh.
Yeah, she just kind of went a little insane at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when you imbue that character for so long. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess we didn't talk about this in the podcast. Most of the extras. Were
yeah,
mental
they
patients.
Were mental patients.
They were mental patients. Yeah, I think there were only like three actors in that movie.
Yeah, seriously, because there was well, the harbor
oh,
master
there was, four.
Was an actual harbor master.
No, he was a businessman.
Or whatever, close enough.
He was a local businessman.
Wasn't
still not an actor.
Fucking
yeah,
an
not
actor.
An actor.
The one of the psychiatrists was a psychiatrist.
An actual psychiatrist.
So basically, the cast of actual actors were Jack Nicholson,
Louise Fletcher, Danny DeVito,
and
Scatman Crothers, and actually Billy. Billy was an actual actor.
Oh
too.
Yeah, because
yeah.
he's the guy who played Chucky.
Right.
Which Chucky?
The one from Rugrats, obviously. No, the
hey
one
guys,
from Child's Play.
Yes.
Internet. I'm joking.
I think they got that.
Hopefully.
Also, interestingly, the psychiatrist, too, he, because he's a psychiatrist, he diagnosed one of the actors, I forgot which one, I think the one that was crying about his wife a lot, with leukemia, and he was correct. He died of leukemia, like, 18 months later.
Oh,
so it's
weird.
Like,
well,
yeah, this movie has a lot of interesting stuff around it, mainly from the fact that none of them, a majority of the cast are not actors.
That seems crazy, and yet they swept the fucking Oscars with, like,
yeah.
a handful of actual
yeah.
real actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then mostly extras who were just, like, random mental patients.
Apparently that's the trick. You just gotta hire people who actually aren't
who are
actors.
Real. I bet in Orange is the New Black, all the people in there are actual prisoners.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. Who knows? Never seen them before, Orange is the New Black. Maybe they are actually prisoners. Yeah, there's...
Yeah.
What scenes in the movie that... like, you would say were either iconic or really struck out for you.
I see, okay.
Well, the
episode,
ending, because that's recognizable.
I guess. What
the ending,
the Simpsons are you talking about? Because now I'm like,
it's,
I have
there's
no...
a couple different ones. There's one where Homer goes to the mental asylum because he wears a pink shirt to work.
I remember that.
there's
meets
a scene
Michael
where...
Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah, but there is a really brief scene where he meets a, like...
Oh, the
Mike, really,
is that the Michael Jackson episode?
It is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a part where he's just gotten in there, and there's, like, a really big Native American guy, and they're like...
I remember that.
Yeah, and everyone's
like,
oh, he doesn't talk at all, and Homer just goes up and he goes, hi, and the guy just goes, like, hi, back. and a bunch of doctors just rush up, like, oh, whoa, he's talking. He's like,
oh,
well, no
yeah.
one ever started a conversation.
I guess if you never watched
before.
One Flew the Cuckoo's Nest, you would never get
that
reference.
Would never make any
yeah.
sense.
You're like, what was this funny?
It would still be kind of funny, because it'd be like, oh, just... They think he's been deaf-mute for 40 years, but it's just because no one started a conversation with him. I know there is one where, for whatever reason, it like the episode ends with Barney kind of trying to
doing
suffocate.
The same thing?
Yeah, Barney just grabs a pillow and shoves it in Homer's face for, like, literally a couple seconds, and then, like, just grabs a water fountain and throws it through a window. That definitely happens in an episode. I forget the context entirely.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
There's so many Simpsons episodes to keep track of that.
I know. Oh my god.
It's all
yeah, they
blur,
take
right?
every.
I bet
they
you
take
could,
things from. Like, I know they've
I bet
taken
they've done
from,
so
like,
many parodies of every
Simpsons
movie.
Simpsons did it.
Yeah.
I bet you could find a bunch of clips that are all references to One Flew Over to the Cuckoo's Nest and then piece together the movie
probably.
With Simpsons characters.
Maybe. I know they did. Oh, I'm sure Bart did some kind of, like, Scarface one.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they did The Godfather.
Mm hmm.
They did,
I'm
like,
sure
a
they've done
Godfather
so many.
Episode.
Well, they've
a
done a
movies.
Lot of Godfather references because of
because
Bad Tony
of the,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
that too. Yeah.
So, if this movie was released today, do you think it would still
translate,
hold up?
Kind of?
Well,
I mean, they'd have to do a lot of adaptation because, like, yeah, mental illness is still stigmatized. It's
yeah.
not this, to the same level. We don't do lobotomies and stuff
yeah.
anymore. They
Plus
do still
yeah.
do electroshock, but it's very different. You have to get the patients signed. Consent.
So basically, we wouldn't have the same ending.
Oh yeah, it, so much would
It'd
be
different.
It'd
be so unrealistic
yeah.
at this point.
Half the people
right?
wouldn't be dead. Like I don't
yeah.
really don't think it would be, like.
You would have
getting
to do
all
it.
That booze in there.
You could
and,
readapt
like,
it as a period piece, and that's about it.
Yes.
A period piece.
You would have to because mental.
Can you
illness...
imagine they're all wearing corsets or something?
Oh my god.
Well,
I need,
like
a period piece as the 60s.
It's like fucking Downton Abbey.
Oh my god, no.
Like a Girl Interrupted, like they did that. And
did
that
they
was
yeah,
that
that's
too?
That's
no.
in like the 50s or something, right?
Girl Interrupted.
I don't think it's.
Oh, Girl Interrupted is basically
no,
the female version
it's
of
not
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, isn't it?
I thought it was based in the 70s.
I don't remember.
Oh, it might be.
Now I'm gonna check.
Because
I remember
it's hard to say
Whoopi
because
Goldberg was in it, right? And she had the little thing on her head.
Yeah, it's hard to say because mental illness has basically, except for the past few decades with pharmaceuticals and stuff, it's been
pretty much the same.
Really? Yeah, it's been really treated like
oh,
a fucking 1960s, giant mystery,
sorry.
Basically.
Yeah.
You're all interrupted, it's 1960.
Even now, like, the pharmaceuticals, like, there are medications that work, but they don't even know the mechanisms for why they work.
Well, they're still discovering new stuff, like, every day.
They are, but a lot
illnesses.
Of them, they don't know the mechanisms for why they work, they just know that different pills work.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So they'll have to assign different ones, and then, like, have to go through different rounds of seeing which ones are effective, because they don't know what's going to be effective, but they know there's a range of what could be effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah, it's really messed up. And they don't and they still don't know the mechanism for any of them, why they work. They're just like, oh, some people who are depressed take this pill and they're better, and some people are more suicidal.
That's true. I remember reading an article not too long ago about the causal link between smoking and schizophrenia, and apparently if you smoke you're actually more likely to develop schizophrenia.
Really?
It's the same with drinking and drugs.
Yeah.
Schizophrenia goes through technically a lot of people say it is hereditary.
Yeah.
But it has
there's,
to be
there's
it has
a lot
to be
of
triggered.
Hereditary.
Triggered, yeah. So they're saying that smoke but they couldn't they said that there was a causal link, but they couldn't exactly pinpoint what
it has
was
something to do, I think, yeah, with
they said so
well,
they,
I think it's
like,
it's also super complex. Like there's a lot of different risk factors.
Yeah.
And a lot of them like they find they're related, but they don't find, like, a huge relationship. So
yeah.
even with hereditary twin studies, it's like, they find a link, but not, like, a massive link.
Yeah. Ugh, like, it's not a very strong correlation, right?
Like, I think there's also one that's been found with cat ownership at a young age.
With what?
With schizophrenia.
Oh.
Really?
Well,
I think Mason has it.
Oh, shit.
Well, no, there is actually
something.
It's
time to send him to the loony bin.
Yeah.
There is actually a, like, parasite that cats carry in their poop.
Yeah.
That, like.
Do you have to eat the poop?
No, you just have to come into contact.
That's
with
why
you would
eat
if you clean a litter box.
Yeah, that's why you're not supposed to do it when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I
yeah.
have, like, a nitrate or something in it.
No,
it glows,
it's,
too.
It's
There's
not
so many
that.
Things you're
it's,
not supposed to do when you're pregnant.
It's hard
to keep track of.
There
yeah.
is actually a parasite. God, I forget what it's called. But it's something that is, its life cycle is in cats and also mice and rats. So it makes mice, like it hijacks their brain to make them less afraid of cat pee so that they're more likely to get eaten by cats. So it has a brain affecting like function. So they found a strong correlation, like apparently 1/3 of humans are infected by it. And it makes women more generous and men more suspicious.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's something that's, like, it has a good degree, like, likelihood of affecting you. but some people
it
just triggers.
Well, I've never owned a cat when I was younger,
it triggers
younger,
so. Schizophrenia. I know, but I used to work in, like, a cat clinic, so even though I haven't really owned a cat ever since I was super young, I've probably infected.
Oh my god, Carolyn, you have the disease.
Yeah,
probably.
I don't think I do.
You're not generous enough?
No.
I'm pretty generous.
No, but it makes guys suspicious.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I'm pretty suspicious, too. Oh,
okay. So you're probably infected.
No, I'm very trusting.
You've got the cat zombie virus.
Maybe.
You eat a cat poo.
Kitty poo poo.
The gays eat the poo poo.
Kitty poo poo.
You've got the cat zombie virus.
Cat zombie virus. I'm actually dead. I've just been resurrected as
the
suspicious
guy. It's a parasite
guy.
That hijacks your brain, man. It's the cat zombie virus.
Okay.
He's just sitting there all conspicuous and stuff. He's just like, what?
Look at his junk. Come on.
He's exposing himself.
Yeah.
That's
how much he doesn't care. Yeah.
What else do you guys like about this movie before? I don't know. There's not really much else.
No,
movie.
I don't
enjoyed
know
it.
If I would watch it.
Okay,
again.
I didn't know.
And yeah, it's one of those movies you watch once. For,
yeah.
I mean, for me, because I watched it in high school, whatever, and I really enjoyed it then.
Yeah.
And so I guess maybe it's now just ingrained to me that I will rewatch it every once in a while.
Yeah.
I liked how, like, I thought it was going to be like, oh, McMurphy is so nice, he's the only one who's nice to Chief, and that's what's gonna make him start talking, and then, like, at some point about halfway through, Chief is just like, no, I just talk, and haven't been talking.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't see what he gets out of living in a mental asylum.
He doesn't. Well, I think the book explains it a little better. No, not really.
I just don't see what he appreciates about that kind of lifestyle.
It's really what it comes down to, is just he has no self-confidence.
I was
going to
say, maybe
whatsoever.
He just gave up.
He kind of just went through the motions and kind of let society dictate what to do with them. And then kind of, McMurphy was the one that kind of woke him up and be like, hey,
okay.
Dude, like, you should do something, man.
Like, you're tall and you can do stuff. I'm
exactly.
Yeah.
So he kind of gave him that self-confidence back and made him realize, hey, I'm not really mentally ill. I'm just kind of here.
He's just checked out.
I'm just kind of quiet.
He's just chilling, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a vacation for him. There's not really much else to say about this movie. Good movie.
I'm a little curious, though, what it was up against for the Oscars, because
1975?
I'm surprised it just swept everything. Not to be, like, I don't know.
I guess I can see that, though, because there's a lot of movies that sweep the Oscars where, like, 5 years later, you're like, oh, why did people like that? And it's because it's really progressive relative to what's going on at the time.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe,
we look back at Brokeback Mountain and we're like, meh.
Fuck that movie.
But it was against
so
Crash,
stupid,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
even
Crash
like,
good.
Meh.
I love Crash. I watched
it. I liked Crash.
Really? I don't remember Crash being that good.
But I remember liking it better than Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that.
I remember Crash. Like,
I remember
Jenny hated
Crash.
It's
and
about,
I was like, because you're racist.
No, it's about racism and stuff,
is.
But it's, like, super stereotypical about it. Like, it doesn't really teach you anything.
That was
it's
a
like,
bad year for movies.
It's
though.
Like, don't
it
be
was
racist.
So bad.
I feel like
some of these black people are criminals, but we're not, like, telling you anything interesting about them. Like, I don't know.
I feel like it was more
of
karma than like, racism.
That's
maybe.
Even worse.
That's why I liked it, though.
I don't know.
It kind of came back on everyone.
I feel like Sandra Bullock is racist the entire movie, and then, like, her, like, house, or her house cleaner or whatever helps her, and it's, like, her
that's
main
her
house
friend.
You guys aren't so bad after all.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of racist. Like, it was trying to not be racist, but, like, it really didn't work that well.
No, but when you looked at it, you were like, oh, it's so sad because this woman who she thinks she hates is literally her only friend.
I guess. But
maybe
it's just showing that racism is just so stupid.
Yeah,
I guess.
Really, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it did come across to me as, like, really stupid and, like, its message was just really trite. Like, it was like, don't be racist. I was like, I knew that movie. Thanks.
And yet people still didn't like it.
I know.
Racist fucks.
Okay, so it was actually against some very iconic movies, surprisingly.
Huh. Oh, yeah?
It was, okay, so it was against one of Kubrick's lesser efforts, Barry Lyndon.
Mm. To be fair, though, Barry Lyndon, okay, I still haven't seen it, I've heard it's super impressive, and, like, it's all filmed using period-appropriate lighting, which, just for that, like, it deserves so many technical
awards.
Yeah. He might have won.
Guess what other movies it was against, though? Dog Day Afternoon.
Ooh. Oh, what?
Wow.
Jaws.
What?
It was against fucking Jaws. And
they're
Nashville.
Like,
so,
I don't know about Nashville, but, like, Dog Day Afternoon and
Dog Day Afternoon
Jaws.
Killed. I love
Nashville
is,
like,
that's
American
a
Idol of the 70s. Yeah, Dog Day Afternoon was really surprising.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest should have won.
No.
With Dog Day Afternoon.
I mean, although, at the same time, there's a huge stigma against, like, a movie like Jaws winning, because it's essentially, like, an action horror movie.
Yeah, and I also, but it did revolutionize, I think that was one of the first blockbusters, actually.
It was,
yeah.
It revolutionized how movies are made and marketed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's weird looking back over old Oscar wins, because, like, a lot of them didn't really have any staying power.
There is, yeah, it's true.
Jaws, but, like, people still love that.
I know,
like, somebody
people love
posted
Jaws.
On my Facebook that they saw it at the theaters, and they loved
people
it.
People still,
like,
love One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, too, but I would probably say Jaws is more memorable over One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Dog Day Afternoon, too.
I think people love,
better.
Because people love Pacino.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dog Day Afternoon
is
well remembered, I think.
Yeah, and so Jack Nicholson beat Al Pacino too. That's pretty crazy.
That's huge.
And
well, that's why Al Pacino didn't win till Scent of a Woman. And now every performance is just him going
hoo-ah!
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 That's so unfair.
Cool.
Well, it's
that he won for that fucking movie.
I feel like that's kind of how the acting Oscar usually works, though. I mean,
That is pretty much it. It's an honorary bullshit thing.
Yeah, it's more of a career award. Although if Jack Nicholson won it for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, then not quite. That doesn't really support that theory.
No.
Because that was earlier.
The Academy just loves certain people to pieces.
Yeah.
That's true.
And
then we'll never honor Leonardo DiCaprio.
Never. I think we should wrap this up.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think
we're kind of veering off.
Yeah, I think that's
also
all I can say about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Good movie.
Yeah. We need to find some movies that we have more to say about.
Well, let's talk about what movie we want to watch next. Clockwork Orange.
Wait, no. Ratings.
Oh, okay.
And also attempt at Grinch Factor, possibly.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
I rate it 7 hijacked boats. No, wait. 6.5 hijacked boats out of 10 lobotomies.
Oof. That's a pretty low rating.
Yeah, I mean, it was good, but
not that good.
I feel like if I give something a 7 or over, that means I would rewatch it, and it's like,
I wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. For me, I give it 8.5 thrown water fountains out of...
It's a big rating.
10 I'm tired.
I'm tired, too.
I'm tired.
I can't even...
Hey, you're just like the untired guy.
I am.
You just need, like, a wheelchair.
I know. I'm tired.
Okay. What's your rating?
Oh, I don't know.
Would you give it a lobotomy?
I give this movie 1 lobotomy.
That would be really good, though, right?
Well,
I don't think so. No,
because lobotomies are bad.
Look, man, it means the movie's acting up, and you need to get it to calm down during group.
There
so
you
give it a lobotomy.
What does that even mean, Carol?
Yeah, exactly.
Calm down during group therapy movie.
Yeah.
How would how would we Grinch factor it?
It's dark,
pretty dark.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have, like, the set design and art design and shit. So,
yeah,
I mean,
Grinch is still obviously better, but
yeah, Grinch has, like, a bunch of layers.
No, saying Mason.
The Grinch could arguably be mentally ill.
Uh-huh.
The Grinch has a lot of layers, and, like, you could argue that different people in Whoville represent different mental illnesses, so
I think it's
more nuanced.
That's true. And I think that the Grinch is just more likable, as he's more complicated than McMurphy, I think.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the layers that Jim Carrey brought to that performance. The shades of green he brought to it, you know?
Oh, God, I can't
wait
for Mason to listen to this.
Okay, so if Grinch is the Grinch's McMurphy, who is the Grinch's chief?
Cindy Lou Who?
Wow.
Obviously.
I don't know how to deal with either answer.
Of course.
Okay.
And the...
The mayor is Nurse Ratchet.
The mayor's Nurse Ratchet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
He's pretty fucking ratchet.
Yeah.
He is, like, the opposing side. Yeah,
he's the like authority figure who just wants to lobotomize everyone.
Yeah.
I want to lobotomize Christmas.
Oh god.
But he doesn't. He loves Christmas.
Oh yeah, he loves Christmas. Yeah. I guess the Grinch is Nurse Ratched, really.
In a way.
Whoa. But the Grinch doesn't have any authority to lobotomize anyone.
True.
Well, he tries.
But he would if he could.
Yeah, exactly. If he was in a position
of authority.
I guess
that's true.
He would lobotomize the hell. Even Cindy Lou Who, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. He would be like,
unless the dog convinced him not to.
No, he would lobotomize the dog before that happened. So basically.
This is a pretty good discussion.
This movie would be super lobotomized.
Good teamwork.
Yeah. If this was the Grinch, everyone would be lobotomized.
That's pretty much
okay.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Valid points.
Yeah.
And nobody would be celebrating Christmas. The Grinch would win, because nobody would be happy.
Yep.
And
well, the inciting
ta-da.
Incident for the entire ending
of just
One then. Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was a Christmas party.
Ah, right.
Oh.
Mind blown.
Oh,
shit.
Wait. So,
whoa.
Wait. If the Grinch is Mac, right?
Yeah.
Is he Nurse Ratched or Mac, though?
Well, he's both, technically. But we decided, I think.
Whoa, okay, so when he's bad, he's Nurse Ratched.
Yeah.
But when he turns good, he turns into McMurphy.
So when his heart grows two sizes?
He's McMurphy.
And then he dies, because he kills himself in the end, because everybody's lobotomized and he's done his whole job, right? And Christmas
I think
exist.
You saw a different movie than us.
And, no, and Christmas...
Is there,
no,
like, a sequel
I'm
that you
about
want?
The one you're talking about. How
okay.
So he would be happy because everyone would be lobotomized and there'd be no Christmas.
I don't know about
and
you.
Would win.
I don't know about you. If I was happy, I wouldn't kill myself.
No, but what's there left to do? You've just lobotomized everybody, ruined Christmas, there's
go
no Christmas.
Go on your sled and fly away
so
onto another snowflake and lobotomize more people.
Sounds like a terrible movie,
yeah.
First of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, I disagree. I think the Grinch is not Nurse Ratched. He's just McMurphy.
Why?
Because he's trying to shake up the social order in opposition to the authority.
Yes. So is Christmas viewed as evil, I guess?
Christmas is
Nurse Ratched.
No, Christmas is the medication that's keeping everyone calm, but like...
Commercialism.
Yeah, it's commercialism is the problem here. And everyone's like lining up to take their commercialism pills.
Oh my god.
And Grinch slash McMurphy is against this.
We're digging way too deep here.
I think Mason would approve.
We need to write an article about this. Like,
compare every movie to the Grinch.
I was going to say, every single movie now that we do is going to be like...
The Grinch has set a very high benchmark,
man.
You know?
Oh, Mason has a number...
Everything is just an adaptation
Mason has
of the Grinch, okay?
Mason actually went
give
into...
Give up Hollywood. We've already made the best movie
ever.
I think we're done with the Grinch factor.
Yeah, I think that covers it.
You've been Grinched. And...
That'll be our tagline.
Yes.
You've been Grinched. With a wink and a gun.
I think we need a sound effect from the actual Grinch movie, but...
What we
maybe
use.
We could just use that. Whatever.
Do we want to go down further in the rankings?
I know.
Man, people love our Grinch factor.
Yes.
We don't know what anyone loves because they don't comment. Comment, people. Let us know what you want.
They don't speak English, so.
Then why are they listening?
Yeah.
Because they want to, you know.
This is how they learn English.
Speak better English.
This is a bad method of learning English, people.
Use Rosetta Stone. If you can't afford it, then I guess this is the next best alternative.
Okay,
yeah, that's all I have to say about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Tune in next time when we watch...
Question mark.
The movie.
Maybe we finally watch Field of Dreams.
Maybe
we
watch Tootsie.
We don't.
That'll
maybe
just be a running
terrible.
Joke now.
Yeah.
Next
we'll
movie,
never watch it.
And we'll never watch Back to the Future.
Field of Dreams.
And
we're watching Back to the Future.
No.
Oh, we should watch it.
Yeah. We're going to watch it eventually.
Yeah.
We should watch it because now
we're
familiar
down.
With Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the worst part of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That's a lie.
Though.
I hate you.
That's
not even
like,
lie.
Really. He... Oh, God.
That's
now, this is just opening up another avenue of discussion.
Okay. We're gonna get
so,
going.
You know what? Enough of this.
Yeah.
I think we have dissected this enough. We've dissected the Grinch a lot and the Oscars.
Goodbye! And the Oscars,
yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye, Internet.
Bye.
See you next time.
On the grass, the lunatic is on the grass. remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. And if the dam breaks open many years too soon, and if there is no room on the hill, and if your head explodes with dark foreboding too, I'll see you on the dark side of the moon. In my head. The lunatic is in my head. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door, throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me.